श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे हरे श्री राधा कृष्ण प्यारे की श्री श्री गौर निताय की श्रील प्रभुपाद की ओ लॉर्ड ओ सुप्रीम क्रिएटर एंड मास्टर यू हैव नो मटेरियल बर्थ Yet to defeat the false pride of the faithless demons and show mercy to your saintly devotees, you take birth among the demigods, sages, human beings, animals, and even the aquatics. As said in the scriptures, here as Brahma is praying here, Paritranaya sadhuna vinashaya cha duskritam. The Lord comes to protect the sadhus and kill the miscreants. Sadhus are often thought of to be people who are very calm, cool and collected, who follow the principles of morality. But sadhu is not just a moralist or a person who is good, different from bad people. A sadhu is a devotee of the Lord. One, iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvidaha, Krishna says. One who engages in, one who is understanding Krishna is the Lord, and one who engages in his devotional service, he is called as a sadhu. So anybody can be sadhu. Whether one is a man or a woman or a child or old or young, whoever, one can be sadhu or saintly simply by becoming a devotee of Krishna. So Lord comes to protect such devotees or deliver such devotees. Now the scriptures say a devotee need not be delivered because a devotee is already delivered. Sagunan samatitetan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. It is said when a devotee is engaged in Krishna's service, at that time a devotee is delivered. Scriptures say that. Like a pujari is performing puja. So at this time the pujari is delivered. Is a liberated platform. So all of you are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam class. So at this time you are liberated souls now. Everyone sitting here is a liberated soul now. Yeah. When you are performing devotional service, any of the 9 parts of devotional service you do, you are a liberated soul. Especially at that point of time when you are performing. That is why it is said you should perform devotional service. How long you should do? 24 hours a day. So that you are always in Jivan Mukta stage. So in this way a devotee is always delivered because a devotee has no other business other than serving the Lord. Even if a devotee is apparently doing a job or doing the apparent worldly activities, a devotee's heart is constantly hooked to Krishna. That is the nature of a devotee. Sometimes people think in this world that the devotee class people are flatterers of God to get some special benedictions from God. But Prabhupada explains, devotees are not a mercantile community. Mercantile community means you pay something and you get something in return. Of course, there are some people like the needy men or the men who are suffering men or the inquisitive men or the philosophers. These people, they go to God for any of these benefits, and once those benefits are achieved, then they don't maintain the contact with the Lord anymore. Then they are busy in their own field. Okay, you go to the Lord for some problem, and problem is solved, you are in your own worldly activities. Such people are not counted as high-class devotees. They are mixed devotees. But a pure devotee is one for whom the vishaya, subject matter is only the Lord. Constantly he thinks of him, he loves him, he serves him, and he propagates his glories everywhere. That is the nature of a devotee. Irrespective of whether such a devotee is living in the world, he is in which ashram, which stature he is, those are immaterial, because what the Lord says is what is one's consciousness. So, such devotees are considered to be liberated souls. Liberated souls, why should they be again be liberated by the Lord? Why should the Lord come to liberate them again? There is no need. They are already liberated. And as far as destroying the miscreants is concerned, it doesn't take so much effort on the Lord's part to destroy the miscreants. One big blow of wind or one big tsunami wave can kill 380,000 people. So what is so great about killing some demon for the Lord? So he can effortlessly kill anybody. Simply by a wink of his eye, he can kill millions of demons. Lord can do that. He has the power. So he doesn't have to come personally to kill the demons. Nobody is so powerful that Lord himself has to come to kill such a demon. But the scriptures say why the Lord comes. Especially here it is explained, the Lord comes in various forms. Like you find sometimes he comes as Naranarayan Rishi, sometimes he comes as Krishna or Balaram, sometimes he comes as a wild boar or Narasimha incarnation, sometimes he comes as a Matsya avatar. So he comes in these various forms. So what could be the reason? If Paritrana Sadhanam is not needed and Vinashaya Dushtisam is automatic for the Lord, very easy, then why should the Lord at all appear in this world? The reason is, the Lord and the devotees, they simply act to please one another. That is the only purpose. Lord simply comes to please his devotees. And the devotee always makes demands from the Lord only to please the Lord. Sometimes you find, Prabhupada says, sometimes the devotee wants to serve Krishna as a child. So Krishna has to become a devotee's child. Because that is the way the devotee wants to serve the Lord. Or the devotee sometimes wants to serve the Lord as a lover. So Lord agrees to become the lover of the devotee. Simply to please the devotee. Why is Krishna dancing in rasa dance with gopis? He simply wants to please the gopis. Similarly, sometimes the devotee wants to treat the Lord as a friend. Or be, please become a playmate. Let's enjoy. So, you see the Lord, although supreme, he simply becomes a playmate with his devotee. He is playing with them. In this way, the Lord is eager to know the heart of the devotee and please the heart of the devotee by becoming a lover or a friend or a child. And the Lord knows very well that if I play this role as a child or a lover or a friend, that will please my devotee, and in this way I can give satisfaction to my unflinching devotees who are constantly in a compact of love with me. So the Lord is simply bent upon pleasing them. And the devotees also, they want to know the Lord's heart. What will please Krishna? They want to fulfill that. Like for example, it is said that the Lord likes fighting. You may wonder, how can Lord like fighting? Even we like fighting, isn't it? Sometimes when there is a stunt scene or fighting scene, immediately you get, special vigor. People sit at the edge of the seat and watch how the fight is going to go on. Who is beating better? Who is having upper edge? Isn't it? Everyone is very eagerly watching, fighting. There is certainly a curiosity. That's why movies always, they have some romance and they also have some stunt scenes also. Because people have that fighting spirit. Sometimes they bring about a competition and they advertise it so that a lot of people will come. Isn't it? Especially they show a trailer, they show stunt scenes. And they show such a thing that, you don't know the end result. So you have to go to movie to see it. So, in this way, the Lord also likes fighting. How we can know it? Because we are all samples of Krishna. We like fighting. So the fighting spirit is there in the Lord also. Lord also wants to fight, but who can he fight with? Who can be as powerful as him to fight with him? Nobody can fight with him. Just like sometimes the king of a country wants to have the pleasure of fighting. So he appoints a wrestler and he pays some money to the wrestler. So the wrestler's duty is to simply give pleasure to the king, fighting with the king. He is not considered enemy of the king. He is just a friend of the king. But both of them have a kushti, wrestling match. And many people may watch. All the friends and relatives of the king may be watching very happily. And they may be encouraging the king or encouraging the wrestler. So they have a good fun. And king also has fun with that, isn't it? So sometimes after the kushti, the king may discuss, we had a good fight. Today it was nice. You did well or I did well. In the same manner, when the Lord wants to fight, nobody can defeat Him. Nobody can fight with Him. But sometimes the Lord requests His own devotees, great devotees in the spiritual world, whom He loves very much, to come with Him to this world and have the fun of fighting with Him. So Lord gives them roles like Hiranyaksha or Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, such roles Lord gives them, like Jai Vijay. They become such Rakshasas. And Lord has a great fight with them. Lord has a lot of enjoyment by that. And also, such fight becomes a great source of interest for the living entities also. Because living entities want politics, living entities want fight, they want quarrel, and they want something that will fascinate their minds. You read Mahabharata, you read Ramayana, all these things have got wars, correct? In Ramayana, there is war between Ram and Ravana. Big war, isn't it? The whole thing is centered around how Ravana took away Mother Sita. As soon as people hear that someone is taken away, they want to know what is it, what's happening there. People become curious. You've seen in the street, if there's a small fight, immediately a big crowd comes around. Actually, nobody knows what's happening. Everyone is sitting and trying to find out what's happening. So, Lord says that, okay, if you have that kind of curiosity, that is actually an impure tendency to quarrel or to gossip or to talk about some woman taken away by somebody. But the Lord says, I will purify your tendency by coming and performing such pastimes. I will myself come and perform pastimes. So your wrong curiosity, what you have, you engage it in my service, so you'll become purified by that. When you talk about some cinema of some actor and actress, or which actor is going to marry which actress, it's not going to be of any use. What earthly use you will get by that? No earthly gain, no heavenly gain, no spiritual gain by that. It is simply a time pass, as they often call it. They also know it is time pass. It doesn't benefit in any way. But when we hear the katha of the Lord, it becomes pastime. It is not just a time pass. It's a pastime of the Lord. By hearing it, by meditating on how Mother Sita was carried away by Ravana, how Lord Ram wept for her, how Hanuman brought Ram to Lanka, and how Ravana was killed. So these pastimes are constantly the subject of meditation for great Paramahamsas. Similarly, how Krishna is carried away by Akrura from Vrindavan, how all the gopis wept bitterly. And how the devotees of Vrindavan served Krishna. So, when we hear this kind of pastimes of Lord killing the demons, it becomes a great subject of interest. Like when we read the fight between Hiranyaksha and Boar incarnation, all devotees are feeling their hair was standing on end. Because, you know, all your eagerness for fight will be fully satisfied by that. Without having to fight with anyone. Simply by hearing the pastime. Because you will hear how the Boar incarnation of the Lord, when he is fighting with the mace, Hiranyaksha hits off the mace and the mace falls off. And all the demigods shout, alas, alas. They are really afraid that, you know, probably the Lord will be defeated by the Asura. So, all the cinema people, they imitate this. Whatever the Lord does, and devotees do, they imitate this. Whatever tunes they sing, they imitate. Whatever pastimes the Lord does, they also imitate it in order to distract the people from the Lord. So you will find how Lord sometimes plays with the demon. Just like sometimes Garuda may play with a snake for some time before killing him. Like that the Lord plays with a demon sometimes for some time and then he may kill him. So, not only it is manoranjak or entertaining for one to read, it also is purifying to the heart because the Lord is involved. Why is Kurukshetra battlefield so important for a devotee? Devotees are not quarrelsome, they are not belligerent, they are not interested in picking quarrels with anyone. Then why are they interested in Kurukshetra war? Why don't we discuss about Battle of Panipat? Or World War I and II, elaborately in our classes. In Kurukshetra, the central figure of Kurukshetra is Lord Sri Krishna. If he is not present, the battlefield has no meaning. So, these pastimes of the Lord, which he enacts with various demons, and even the Shastras very vividly describe the nature of demons, what qualities they had, what kind of asuric activity they did. Very interesting for us to see, because we also do some of them. We can learn from that. And after, when the Lord kills the demon, one also gains a very valuable lesson. It is not very beneficial to make enmity with the Lord. That's a lesson we learn at the end of reading the pastime. It's better for me to make friendship with Krishna. Because we have always seen that the demons die and the Lord wins. So whose paksha we should take? It's better to take Krishna's side. You see Ravana, Ram fight. Ram wins. Hanuman wins and Ram wins. Similarly, we find the Duryodhanas and the Kauravas and the Pandavas. Pandavas win because Krishna is on their side. So, all the people who hear Rama and Mahabharata, they learn, it's better for us to be on the side of the Lord. So, better to be in harmony with Lord. Whatever He tells us to do, do it. Then we can be happy. So, in this way, the Lord comes to teach us this valuable lesson. Foolish living entity, just be on my side. Just take shelter of me. Don't try to become an enjoyer. The Lord says, just surrender to me, then you can be happy. Just see these devotees, Pandavas, how they surrender to me. Just see Hanuman, just see Sita, how they are surrendered to me. The Lord simply wants to inspire us to surrender to Him. So this is for the benefit of the neophyte devotees, or those who are not so aware of the Lord's nature. But those who are Lord's devotees already, for them these pastimes are activities that lead to ever-expanding bliss. Tvadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chittaha. Prahlad says, your virya gayan, when your glories are sung, my dear Lord, he says, it's like maha amrit. The amrit of this world can probably give us a longer life for the demigods. But the maha amrit is the nectarian pastimes of the Lord which lead us to a feeling of being in eternity. Sometimes you are in a kirtan, you feel, why not this kirtan go on for eternity? Let it never stop. Let this dance go on for eternity. Let this kirtan go on for eternity. Let this prasadam go on for eternity. Delicious. Isn't it? Or you're hearing katha of the Lord, you feel, oh, let it go on for eternity. I just don't want to stop. It's like nectar. Rasayana katha. Isn't it? Rasayana katha. Rasayana katha means it's very nectarian, very relishable to the ears. Relishable to the heart, relishable to the soul, such pastimes. So, for the great devotees, these pastimes are very relishable. So, that is the purpose for which the Lord comes to perform the pastimes, to please the devotees. So, while He is performing the pastime, those characters like the gopis or the gopas or the parents of Krishna, they relished when the Lord came, when He performed pastime. But those who are hearers or readers of Bhagavatam, they don't benefit any lesser by reading these pastimes. If anybody has a proper state of consciousness and recites Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, they can get the same benefit what those characters got in the presence of Krishna. It's only a matter of consciousness. Because in material things this may not be applicable, but in spiritual things this is 100% applicable. Because Lord is spiritual, the devotees are spiritual, the pastimes are spiritual, and all these things are eternal. So, when we hear these pastimes, if we become present as a part of the pastime, one can actually become a part of that pastime. And if one hears it with great shraddha and attention, then one can actually gain complete benefit of being in the presence of the Lord. That is the nature of these pastimes. That is how these pastimes can completely make us become transcendental. As it is said, Saguna, Samati Tetan, Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. Another verse, it is said, that devotees are also beyond three gunas. They are also called as Nirguna. Nirguna. Why Nirguna? Because large activities are Nirguna, but devotees who hear these pastimes, they practically become absorbed in those pastimes so much that they also go to the Nirguna stage, beyond the three gunas of the material world. So much so that the pains and sufferings of this material world, they don't touch the devotee at all. They don't harm the devotee. A devotee may be suffering from terrible adversities, but the large pastimes are so nectarian that the devotee's heart is relishing those pastimes. Although externally the adversities may be acting on the devotee. A devotee doesn't feel any suffering. So the Lord comes to please the devotees, and as I said, the devotees are always trying to please the Lord, as we were saying. The Lord wants to get the pleasure of fighting, so devotees give him pleasure by fighting. They don't mind. Whatever way the Lord demands them to serve, the devotees are ready. Like when Jaya and Vijay were standing at the door, the Chatushkumaras came. And they were Brahmavadis, not pure devotees. So Jaya and Vijay were righteous in stopping them from entering into Vaikuntha. They were not wrong in any way. They stopped those Chatushkumaras from entering the Vaikuntha. But then the Kumaras became angry, impelled by the Lord. That is actually a desire of the Lord, that the Kumaras should become angry with Jaya and Vijay. So they became angry and they cursed Jaya and Vijay that you will become demons in the material world. As soon as they were cursed, the Lord himself came to the doorstep of Vaikuntha. And then as soon as they smell the tulasi, the Lord's feet, they become devotees immediately. And at once they feel they committed a blunder by cursing this Jaya and Vijay. They feel bad. In fact, the Lord tells them that, I am responsible for their mistake. So don't curse them. I will take the responsibility. But then when they feel bad that they have cursed, but the Lord says, no, let them become demons. Actually, the Lord also wants them to become demons. Why? So that he can enjoy with them by fighting when he comes to the material world. So his own devotees, he is simply playing with his own devotees, but he serves so many purposes. Like one mango, you get four, one stone, you get four mangoes. The Lord wants to get pleasure of fighting from his devotees, so he makes them into demons and he fights with them. And when they become demons, so many people of this world learn so many good lessons. And they see that life, that how one should not be a demon. One understands. The Lord shows the world how a devotee is so surrendered that he can take any role as per the desire of the Lord to please them. In fact, I heard that the Kumaras gave two options to them. Either you become demons for three lifetimes, or you can be devotees in the material world for 10 lifetimes. They were given an option. Which do you want to do? So they were in a fix for some time. They said, wherever we are, we want to be devotees, they thought. So we don't mind 10 lifetimes. After all, we are going to be devotees. But the love for the Lord was so intense, when they thought about being away from him for 10 lifetimes, they said, no, better we be devotees for 3 lifetimes. Let us be demons for 3 lifetimes. Because we will be able to return back to him as soon as possible. So they preferred to be demons. And that desire was one with the desire of the Lord also. Because they could understand the Lord's mind and they became demons for 3 lifetimes. So in this way, the devotees, we can see their nature, that they are always simply eager to give pleasure to the Lord. It is said in Vrindavan also, every living entity is trying to give pleasure to Krishna. Like the flower is blossoming only to give pleasure to Krishna. The bumblebees are making beautiful sound only to give pleasure to Krishna. The breeze is flowing to give a cooling effect to Krishna's body. The lotuses and lilies, they are blossoming beautifully to give pleasure to Krishna's eyes. The trees are loaded with fruits, dripping with honey, only to give pleasure to Krishna. All the birds are chirping, the cuckoos are cooing, the peacocks are dancing to give pleasure to Krishna. You can imagine if these people are giving pleasure to Krishna, what to speak of the personalities like the gopas and gopis and others. That is actually Vrindavan. Vrindavan means everyone wants to please Krishna. And they try to find out what will please the Lord the most. And they act accordingly. That is the nature of Lord's devotees. Like sometimes we used to wonder why Satyabhama is envious of Rukmini. If Rukmini is given a Parijata flower, she also wants a Parijata flower. How can... This is like two rival wives of a husband who are quarreling. Actually, when we used to read these things before coming to ISKCON, we used to wonder why Satyabhama is so envious. Or she becomes angry with Krishna. She behaves rudely with Krishna. Sometimes she chastises Krishna. Sometimes Krishna has to become humble in front of Satyabhama. You see that. But actually, such devotees like Satyabhama, they have no intention to displease the Lord. The Lord wants to enjoy different rasas from different devotees. Some devotees are humble, submissive. Other devotees, Satyabhama, their nature is very pleasing to the Lord. Satyabhama's adamance is very pleasing to the Lord. In fact, it is so pleasing to him, it is sometimes more pleasing to him than even the submissive attitude of Rukmini. So once Lord wanted to check this, Rukmini is always submissive. There is no fun in this. So Lord thought, let me incite her anger. Because sometimes there is fun in inciting anger, isn't it? Sometimes the husband does this to the wife. He comes and puts a bomb, he says something, and then sees that when the wife becomes angry, he has some fun in that. They do that. This is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. Similarly, the Lord also wanted to incite some anger in Rukmini. So he started saying many things. Rukmini, why did you marry me? I am after all a covered boy. Nobody can ascertain my caste. Some people say I am a Vaishya, some people say I am a Kshatriya. You know, some people think I was born a Vasudeva Devaki Swami Kshatriya. And then I was carried over to Vrindavan, where I had a foster mother and father, Nanda and Yashoda. Some people call me Vaishya. And nobody can know whether I am Vaishya or Kshatriya. And I am simply herding the cows. I am a simple covered boy. So he was telling, you married a wrong person. You are such a great princess. You deserve to marry. There were great kings waiting for you, like Shishupal and so many others. They were all hankering for you. And you could be married to a very great king, and in this way you would have become a queen of the whole world. You married me and you attained all misfortune in your life. Even now it's not very late, like that he was talking. So when Rukmini heard it, instead of becoming angry, she fell fainted on the ground when she was doing chamar. Chamar fell down, she also fell down. And Krishna had a difficult time waking her up, sprinkling water on her face. So, Lord relishes different rasas with his devotees. Now, Rukmini is perfect in pleasing Krishna by being humble. And Satyabhama is perfect in pleasing Krishna by talking adamantly. When Satyabhama is adamant in getting Parijata flower, Krishna feels great joy. There's great charm in that. Krishna feels great joy in that. So Satyabhama would say, okay, my dear Lord, if you want to give me, please give me. If you think you don't want to give me, no, it's all right. That's not very pleasing to Krishna. So, Lord is actually rasa vigraha. He relishes different rasas from different devotees. Different type of devotees behave differently. Even in Chaitanya Leela, you will see there are so many devotees behaving in different moods. And the Lord appreciates different mellows in different devotees. So the devotees behave very precisely understanding the mind of the Lord. Even before the Lord expresses his desire, the devotees know his mind, what he wants me to do. And they will exactly do like that to please him. So while the devotee is trying to please Krishna, Krishna also tries to please his devotees. You can see the competition. Like when Krishna delivered all the gopis from Bhavamasura's place, there were so many thousands of them, 16,000 of them, and they were all delivered. And Krishna told them, now we may all go home, be happy with your parents. And none of them were moving an inch. Lord asked, what happened? They said, where will we go now? Because in Vedic life, if one has left, real meaning of marriage in Vedic life means, the father gives protection to a girl, to his daughter, and then he hands over the daughter from his protection to another man's protection, which is the husband's protection. Then that is called as marriage. Women are always protected. So that is the way the marriage is conducted. But if a woman runs away from home, or is taken away by someone, then nobody will accept her hands. So this gopis are saying that this asura stole all of us away from our father. Now we were here for a long time. Now nobody will accept us when we go back. So then Krishna asked, so what do you want me to do? He said, we want you as our husband, they said. So Krishna said, no problem. Krishna immediately agreed and married all of them. So Prabhupada says there that somebody may say, why is the Lord so lusty that he wants to marry so many queens? He wants to marry so many women. So Prabhupada says, Krishna is unlimited in everything. He says, even if one is lusty, nobody can be unlimitedly lusty. Of course, the Lord is not afflicted by lust or passion or greed or envy of, or anything of that kind. The Lord is Purna, is absolute and completely pure. And whatever we may consider as lust is only pure love. He cannot have a tinge of material contamination. That is his speciality. In fact, if somebody becomes lusty on him, that person will become pure. Just like gopis, for example, gopis are all fallen in love with Krishna. They had no lust. But there was one girl who fell in love with Krishna who was lusty, which is Kubja. Actually, Kubja is the expansion of Durga. Prabhupada explains that. So naturally, she has a contact with the material world. So she represents the Purusha Shakti, which means the enjoying mentality. So when she saw Krishna, she got that enjoying mentality. She wanted to enjoy Krishna. Just like a man wants to enjoy a woman or a woman wants to enjoy a man. See, the Purusha Bhav is not only in Purusha, not only in man, it's also in woman. Just as man wants to exploit resources of material nature or enjoy a woman, similarly woman also wants to enjoy a man. So Purusha Bhav is there in both the people. So Kubja had this Purusha Bhav. She wanted to enjoy Krishna in a lusty way. So when she approached Krishna, as soon as she touched Krishna's feet, as soon as she took Krishna's feet in her hand, immediately all her lust was eradicated. Actually, Kubja, by profession, she was actually, by profession, a kind of prostitute, kind of profession. When she took Krishna's lotus feet and kept it on her chest, immediately all the lusty mentality in her heart became completely eradicated. It was burnt to ashes. There was no more lust. So, Sukadeva Goswami is asking, that Supreme Lord Krishna, who could burn away the lust in the heart of Kubja? Or Krishna, by carrying in the hearts of, the yogis are carrying Krishna in their hearts, and they can wander all over the world without any getting any material contamination in their hearts. If Krishna can relieve the living entities of all material contamination, then how can he be lusty? That's a very good challenge that Sukadeva Goswami is making. Lord is never lusty. But the Lord only has oceanic love towards everyone. So these gopis wanted the Lord as their husband, so Lord accepted them as their husband. Somebody wants the Lord as a child, Lord becomes a child. Somebody wants the Lord as a friend, Lord becomes a friend. So Lord is simply eager to promote the love of his devotee in whatever way the devotee wants to serve. You will see Rasa dance. In whatever way the gopi is dancing, the Lord also is dancing with them like that. You can see that. And everyone has a certain nature, and the Lord is understanding the nature of the devotee and pleasing that devotee in that particular nature. Just like, for example, why should Lord Vishnu or Krishna come as Lord Narasimhadev? Now, to kill Hiranyakashipu would be a very easy task for the Lord. By some material nature, some arrangement, one big slap. I was telling about tsunami. One big tsunami slap, 4 lakh people are finished. So material nature itself is extremely powerful. And Lord can very easily kill all the demons. But still, he is trying to take the form of Narasimhadev. There you will find Narasimhadev is very carefully fulfilling all the conditions that Hiranyakashipu put. I should not die in the day, die in the night, die in the sky, die on land. He is fulfilling all the conditions and is appearing in that ferocious form. It is because when the other devotees observe this form of Narasimhadev, they are simultaneously fearful and joyful. It's a mixed emotion. They are fearful seeing that, my Lord, such a form we have never seen before. half man, half lion form. Not only that, the Lord is roaring and he is so powerful, he is so mighty. He is picking Hiranyakashipu, putting him on the lap and breaking open his stomach and wearing the intestines like garland. So when the demigods, they see this, they are trembling out of fear, seeing this form, because they are by nature soft-hearted. So they fear. On the other hand, they are very joyful and they are crying tears of joy, seeing that how much the Lord loves his devotees. How much he is coming to protect his devotees. That's why you will find in that Dashavatar, it always ends with Jaya Jagadish Hare, isn't it? Jaya Jagadish. You are the Lord of the universe and you come to protect your devotees always in various forms in the Dashavatar Stotram. Jaya Jagadish Hare, Jaya Jagadish Hare, we sing like that. So the Lord comes to protect his devotees. When the devotees see that the Lord has come in this form to simply protect Prahlad, then their conviction in his protection becomes infinite. It becomes manifold. So when the devotee's conviction increases, naturally the conviction turns into love. So that enhances the love of the devotee for the Lord. And after millions of years, like in India, you go to different parts of India, everywhere you find Narasingadeva's deity. Narasingadeva and Prahlad, you will find. Wherever you go, Narasingadeva is so famous. So even now, we are reading Prahlad's pastime. We feel as if we are present there. When we read the pastime of Prahlad and Hiranyakashipu and how Lord Narasingadeva delivered Prahlad, the prayer spoken to Prahlad, we feel so intimate with Prahlad when we read the verses of Prahlad. When we read the verses spoken by Lord Narasingadeva, how Narasingadeva gives protection, it is so wonderful. So, the Lord does these pastimes simply to increase the love of his devotees towards them and to please the devotees. And the devotees are trying to please the Lord. And you can see Lord is so great that a devotee becomes convinced when he sees these different forms. Just like if somebody is even an impersonalist. But if an impersonalist wants to turn into a devotee, actually impersonalists cannot become devotees very easily. But if an impersonalist desires that somehow devotion service is wonderful, I also want to become devotee, then Lord appears in a very strange form to satisfy an impersonalist who always wants to see God as a very great person. Because impersonalists have an impersonalist bent of mind, they cannot accept Krishna as a very beautiful Shyam Sundar. Like Prajendra and then Lord standing like this. They want to see Lord in a very great form. So for them the Lord appears as the Virat Purusha. Or the universal form. So when such people who have impersonal bent of mind, when they see, read the scriptures and understand that the sun and moon are the eyes of the Lord, they look at the sun and they understand, yes, God means you must have eye like this. I cannot have eye like that. God can have eye like this. And then they understand that the mountains are bones of the Lord. Then they climb big mountains and understand, my bones are small and these bones are really, the mountains are really big, huge. They understand that yes, it must be true. Then when they see the topmost planetary system, Satyaloka is like the skull of the Lord. The Pataloka is like the soles of his feet. And the oceans are like the Nabi of the Lord, navel of the Lord. So these are all explained in the Shastra, how we can see the Virat Purusha. For those people who are too much in reverence, or those people who are having impersonal bent of mind, for them this worship of Virat Purusha is very good. So for them the scriptures prescribe that. So Lord shows that Mahato Mahiyan, I am the greatest of the greatest things. Lord shows that there is nothing like the sun, no comparison to the sun. So they are the eyes of the Lord, it is said. So that means the Lord wants to show the world. Without my seeing, none of you can see. First, the sun has to see in the morning. The sun rises in the morning. Then only all the living beings can open their eyes and see. Otherwise, you can't see anything. So the Lord has to open his eyes. Then we can open our eyes and see. So Lord proves that. At the same time, the Lord is also Aniyor Aniyan. Sometimes you find a tiny insect inside of an old book, you see. You open a old book, you find tiny, like a dot, moving like this. It looks just like a dot. You wonder, how can a soul be present in such a tiny body, you wonder. But Lord says, Aniyor Aniyan, I am smaller than the smallest, bigger than the biggest. Lord expands us Even though all the souls are expanded from the Lord, but we are separated parts and parcels. So they are called as Ani or Aniyan. So Prabhupada says, the greatness of the Lord is not one-sided. It is two-sided. Because scientists are saying that we have made this 747 plane, which can carry so many people. So we have made a very great plane. There are Airbus and things like that. They have made very big planes. But Prabhupada says, can they make a plane as tiny as the insect? They cannot make. So that the claim for greatness is useless, he says. Because the greatness is not one-sided. Lord, there's two-sided greatness. You can see that. And you can understand how much pleasure Lord can give to living entities if living entity simply makes friendship with Him. Like you can see, what to speak of scientists making this plane, the followers of the Vedic texts, if you see, they attain the mystic powers, eight mystic perfections, with which they can do so many things. Like when Swayambhuvana wanted to get his daughter married, he was searching for a suitable match. And his daughter saw there was a great sage called Kardama Muni. She said, I want to marry that sage. Because in the Vedic times, the fathers always wanted to give their sons and give their daughters in marriage to those men who were sense-controlled. How they would find a suitable match for their daughter? If a man is controlled in his senses and is devoted to the Lord, then the father would think that, yes, this man is proper. I can give my daughter in marriage to him. Why? Because he will make her also learn to live with meager amount of things of this world. Because he is not living affluent, he is not increasing the possessions and positions, trying to live the life lavishly, squandering all the wealth. Such people have no control of the senses. So the father who would give the daughter in marriage to a person who is very strict in spending, at the same time is a devotee of the Lord. Because then the father will be convinced that my daughter will be taken back home, back to Godhead by this boy. So that is why you will find in the Vedic texts, you will find fathers always looking for rishis and munis to get their daughter married. Nowadays, if a father wants to give a daughter in marriage, first thing they are asking, how many digit salary you earn? How much the boy is earning, isn't it? That is the first criteria, isn't it? Is he having a software job? Does he go abroad? How many lakhs he has got? What model car he is having? These are the things that, girl's father, what is his status, People ask about status. They never ask about spiritual status. Only your financial status. Similarly, and the boy also, when he sees a girl, what he sees? He sees her external bodily beauty. Is she beautiful enough to satisfy my senses? That's all. She has to be a beauty queen. Whatever be her qualities, whether she is demoniac, she may be a Shurpanaka inside, no problem. Externally, she has to be like a... Shurpanaka actually was very beautiful when she came, that? When she came, she was very, very attractive. But very soon, she showed her real form, later on. Yeah, external appearances are deceptive. So, Devahuti wanted to marry this Kardamuni. And her father immediately agreed. That was a proper match. So she was living a very simple life. She was living a very austere life under his custody, simply serving him and simply assisting him in his devotional service. So this rishi, after seeing her for a long time, she became emaciated, thin, very skinny. One day he called her and told her, my dear good wife, you have done so much service to me, but I have not done anything for you. And he said, your body has become skinny and you have served me by doing so much. What can I do for you? He asked. So Prabhupada says, women are fond of five things, he says. Women are fond of a good husband, good children, they are fond of good food, good home, and also good facilities. So Prabhupada says, these five things women are generally fond of. So Kardamuni knew that. So he wanted to show her that your husband is not a beggar. He has all mystic perfections under his control. And he can provide all facilities. So he provided her an aerial mansion, a flying airplane, in which there were lakes, there were parks. Can you imagine? There were big bungalows. It was like a whole town flying in the sky. He gave her all of that. In this way, he provided all the facilities. Of course, later on, she laments, "My dear husband, I have wasted my life simply enjoying life." And he tells her, "Don't worry, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is going to appear in your womb as Lord Kapila, an incarnation appears." So Prabhupada quotes this verse to show how if a soul, a living entity like Kardama Muni, he can do such miracles like creating aerial mansion with his mystic yoga. Krishna is called as Yogeshwar. You know this name, Yogeshwar? He is the master of all mystic powers. How much he can create for his devotees, just see. If a devotee has sincerity to serve Krishna, and if he does little service, then Krishna can push you from behind. So I was hearing this from one Maharaj who came here. Radharaman Maharaj is telling such a wonderful point it is. He said, "We have to only work a little bit and then Krishna will give a big push from behind and you will see a big progress, you will find." Sometimes we wonder that how miraculous things are happening. Like Prabhupada's activity is certainly miraculous, isn't it? Like a old man, all these odds, if you see from a material point of view, you cannot explain. Like a old man, 70-year-old man going with 40 rupees to America, you know, playing kartal under a tree. Looks like a fairy tale, isn't it? But it's not a fairy tale, it just happened a few decades ago. He was playing kartal and hardcore American materialistic people, they came there to hear him. They also clapped hands and they danced and they became Harakshana devotees. You can tell a nice story like this to a child. But it is not a story, it's a real life history. You can see that. And such inconceivable, miraculous things can happen when the Lord sees sincerity in the heart of the devotee. And he can provide unlimited facilities. When we have to work hard and earn facility, we can't do so much. When Krishna decides to provide facility, it's Lakshmipati. He can provide anything you want. That is how Prabhupada, we often say he went with 40 rupees and came back with 40 crore rupees. And that's possible. Lord can do such miracles, it's possible. So one should make friendship with the Lord. That is the conclusion. If one makes friendship with the Lord, Lord is Yogeshwar. And he is always eager to please his devotees. So, surrendering to the Lord is not like surrendering to a dictator like Hitler or Stalin. Surrendering to the Lord is actually, when devotee surrenders to the Lord, Lord becomes very concerned about the heart of the devotee, to please the devotee in the best way possible. And the devotee does not desire anything but serving the Lord. So, it's a transcendental competition to love one another and to serve one another between Lord and his devotee. So, all these different forms the Lord comes, just like you see the fish incarnation, Matsya Avatar. Why the Lord comes like that? Because the Lord tells Satyavrata Muni that there is going to be a very great pralaya. You make an altar, you make the ship, and all of you sages and animals, all of you occupy the ship, and I will personally come to deliver all of you during that pralaya time. And the Lord comes as a big fish, and the ship is connected to the hook of the fish. Fish has a horn to which is connected, and the Lord is taking them to a safer place where the devastation waters of the pralaya will not affect them. The same pastime comes in Bible also. Noah and the ark, you will read it. Exactly the same pastime. Only Noah name is new name, which is Satyavrat Muni's name. Instead of giving Satyavrat Muni, it says Noah. Same pastime appears in Bible. So, you can understand that the Lord comes in this fish incarnation. Now, you know, the Lord can always do this. He can say, you know, from the sky, you know, he can just give blessings. Okay, I will just, you know, see that, you know, there will be land and you will be saved and there won't be any rain. But when he comes as a fish incarnation, that becomes more pleasing for the devotees. When devotees see that Lord himself comes as a fish incarnation and he is taking us to another place by personally serving us. When a devotee sees that the Lord is serving me, then a devotee's heart becomes overwhelmed with love for him. Like that. Similarly, he comes in other forms, as we said about Lord Narasimha Dev. He comes as a boar incarnation. But the devotees of the Lord, they can easily understand the Lord. Like when the Lord comes as a boar incarnation from the nose of Brahma, he comes out of the nose of Brahma and grows into a huge boar, a wild boar. And when all the devatas see that wild boar appearing in the sky, immediately they know this is a transcendental boar. It is not an ordinary boar. So they immediately start chanting prayers that they would offer for Vishnu. Like the demigods chant, Sahastra Shirsa Purushaha They know this is the same Purusha who is appearing as a boar. He may appear in different forms. Just like if any of us wear different masks, like sometimes I wear a lion's mask, sometimes I wear a pig's mask or whatever mask I wear. You know, I am the same person. In fact, the Lord in the spiritual world is not in these forms. Prabhupada once was telling his disciples that in the spiritual world, the Lord is only in a human form. Like Vishnu or Krishna or Ram. He doesn't appear as Narsingha. He doesn't appear as boar incarnation and all. Even the boar incarnation, the corresponding incarnation in the spiritual world is like Vishnu form only. He is in a human form because this is the most pleasing form to reciprocate. But in the material world, to kill the demons, the Lord appears in these different forms as a wild boar. But the demigods know very well, this is Sakshat Hari who has appeared like this. So with folded palms, they are offering wonderful prayers. And Lord Boar also, he looks with his side glance at all the demigods and sages offering prayers. And he gives a smile to them. He's very happy. And when he moves his body like this, the waters are splashed from his body. When the waters are splashed from his body, they fall on all the devatas and rishis who offered him prayers. That is like a pujari from the altar taking the waters and sprinkling on all the devotees. So they felt like that. None of the demigods felt, you know, what is this? Your pig is throwing dirty water from his body. No. They saw the Lord as a transcendental form of boar. In fact, the waters that are coming from Lord's body are the most fragrant. So in this way, the devotees of the Lord know, even when Lord appears in different forms, they are never bewildered. They know that all these are different forms of the very same Supreme Lord Krishna. Ete cha amsha kalapumsa krishnastu bhagavan swayam. It is said. Same Lord Krishna appearing in. So Krishna appears as a boar. Krishna appears as a Narsimha. Krishna appears as Vamana. And all these pastimes are released by devotees. When Krishna appears in different forms, and he protects the devotees, he kills the demons, he teaches valuable lessons, he speaks what is dharma, he destroys adharma. So, not one, two, there are thousands and lakhs of pages of scriptures filled with these wonderful pastimes. Once Prabhupada was telling, he called his devotees and said, in all our temples, every day, they should recite one verse from Bhagavatam and speak on that. So that became a rule in ISKCON. Every day, people would read one verse from Bhagavatam and they would speak. And then Baba told the devotees, how many verses we have in Bhagavatam? 18,000 verses. And Baba asked them, how many years it comes to? Prabhupada asked them. 18,000 divided by 365, isn't it? Days, years. If you take, how many it will come? Say, take approximately 400 days per year. So, 18,000 by 400, who is a quick mathematics person? Is it? It's 4.5 years, he says. 45 years, I think. Correct? Forty-nine years. So, then Prabhupada said, okay, after finishing this Bhagavatam, then you have Chaitanya Charitamrita. That is God. Adrila, Madrila, Antirila. And besides that, Prabhupada said, we have so many other books which you have to finish first. So Prabhupada said, in this way, Prabhupada said, we have given you enough, not even for one lifetime, for many lifetimes we have given you. Enough. And you can. And Prabhupada said, by the time you finish Bhagavatam, you don't remember what all you read, so you have to read it all over again. Because you have studied for 50 years, now you have to go back to the first canto, first verse. You go back and read again. So in this way, and not only that, today, I gave a class and one lecture. If any other devotee gave here, he must have spoken something else, isn't it? Because the devotees have different realizations and different levels of depth and understanding. So there is no limit to Bhagavad Katha. So we can fill up our ears and hearts with the Bhagavad Katha for our entire life. And in this way, we can always remain on a liberated platform, as I was telling in the beginning. Like now we are hearing Bhagavatam class. This is not considered hearing. What is considered hearing is, after the class gets over, if all day, whatever you heard in the class keeps ringing in your ears, that means you have really heard the class attentively. If one devotee was telling, one sannyasi said, if when the Bhagavatam class, the speaker stops the lecture, And you also stop hearing. That means you are not heard, is it? Real hearing means after hearing, you have to relish what you heard. That was such a wonderful point. Huh? Just see the nature of the Lord. Just see the nature of devotees. Huh? See their love. Huh? And see material life, how horrible it is. Dirty material life, good for nothing. Huh? Spiritual life is wonderful. I should become a serious devotee. Huh? If one gets the spirit, huh? Then one wants to become a more serious devotee. Then hearing Bhagavatam, the purpose is served. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Kaur Bhaktavinda ki. Thank you very much.